Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone. Hey, Wellness Alchemist. This is Jessica Dorvaj Carriage. We are in the middle of the detox. I hope you guys are doing amazing. We just want to express our absolute gratitude for you being here and being a part of the Rebel Wellness Spring Equinox 30-Day Detox Wellness Chat. Oh, my gosh. I finally said it. Said it all in one breath. And I got my lovely co-host, co-pilot, sister in love, here, Tanya Lee Markle. Hey, Tanya, how are you?
Hey, Jessica. Hey, alchemists. And today we have for our 30-minute wellness talk, we have inspiring mother, traveler, internationally sought after yoga teacher featured on Yoga Glow, Jo Testula. Hi, Jo.
Hi there. Very excited to be a part of this.
We are excited to have you. Thank you. And Jo, you are currently on the west coast of the United States, correct?
Yes, that's right. I've just finished filming a mad weekend of yoga, which doesn't seem to fit, does it? But it's a pretty tight schedule there. Yeah, and I've got another week here in Los Angeles, and then I head back to Australia.
Awesome.
So I'm actually going from opposite seasons, from nearly spring equinox, but in Australia it'll be the fall.
Excellent.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool. We love the duality. Super. And Jo, you are traveling with your little baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
how old is your baby?
She's 15 months old.
Oh, my God! My son is 16 months old.
Oh, really?
Yes!
Oh, what a gorgeous age.
Yes.
So magical.
It is. It is amazing.
She's just starting to, get her words and to communicate and, yeah, she's just so much fun. We call her the little guru because she is such a teacher. And, she's just amazing.
That's
great. Three mamas on the call right now. Three new mamas.
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah, I bow down deep to all the mamas, you know, really. I had no idea. I had no idea.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things truly where you cannot even express really much about it until you have experienced it yourself. And I mean, that is when I want to say the shit hits the fan.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But
sure. You realize how much of a luxury it is just to have to look after yourself. I mean, you know, I don't know why I ever thought that was difficult.
Yeah.
Until you have someone else there, and then, oh, yeah, you all of a sudden really get pushed to the back of the line.
Yes, and that is a beautiful segue kind of to the first question I want to ask you, Joe. And before I get into it, I would just love to say, and I would love to share that you are such an inspiration to me. I practiced your prenatal yoga videos from Yoga Glow pretty much through my entire pregnancy. And
oh, wow.
I mean, what a beautiful teacher you are. You really, for me, are teaching from such a feminine, creative, and intuitive space. And I mean, I absolutely fell in love with you. I fell in love with your belly. My belly fell in love with you. And I just want to just Aww. Express that gratitude for, you know, taking the time to share those sequences and to share those parts of you.
You know, it was such an honor. It was such an honor to spend that sacred time and also to be there for the pregnant mama goddesses. Because I mean, how important is that time to nourish our pregnant mama goddesses?
Mm.
It's really so important. So yeah, it was my honor.
Awesome. Cool. And talking about, you know, the difficulties of making time for yourself and being a parent, you know, like you said, you kind of, your needs get pushed to the end of the line. But in general, why do you believe, or can you speak a few words about why is it so difficult for people to nourish themselves these days?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I'm guilty of this, really, because as women, we tend to be the nurturers, and we tend to nurture everyone else but ourselves. And I think that's because we allow ourselves to get run down, and we get too tired. And then all of a sudden, it seems like just too big a job to take the time out for ourselves. And so we don't do it. But really, the opposite is true. If you take that little bit of time out to take care of yourself, then you get so much more energy, and it's like you cleanse the slate, and you have so much more to give. And when you've got more energy, somehow more time appears.
Mm.
So I feel like we trick ourselves because we get too run down, and then we think, oh, it's just such a mountain to climb. But really it isn't. Because you only need to do small little to just make a shift.
Mm. I love that, and I feel like you're speaking to me as well. I mean, I've my son, he's just turning 1 year old, and of course this applies to everybody, not just you know, mommies and daddies with new babies, but being tired. I mean, if there's anything that we have heard from our audience and, you know, questions from other alchemists, it's like, how do I deal with being tired? That is the one thing that keeps me from taking care of myself. And I love how you say it's kind of a trick, because we all know it, that actually when you do take that time, even if it's just a 10-minute walk outside in nature or a 10-minute, you know, yoga practice, that actually more time does appear and you do get more energy, even though it probably took, you know, a truck to pull you off the sofa or get you out of the house. It works.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why it's really good to join a group like what you're doing and to get motivated and just to use the energy of other people so that you're not on your own. I think that that's a wonderful idea.
Mm.
You know, Joe, in our other wellness chat, James Clear, he talked about creating this idea of 1% improvements in your life, and I feel it relates to what you're talking about. It, but both of you are coming at it from different perspectives. We can make a shift in 5 minutes, in 10 minutes, and where I had to let go was being upset that I couldn't make it to the 2-hour yoga class, or not feeling enough because I couldn't, juice every single day of the week, these huge like life transformations, which, just really, that it isn't sustainable, I can only speak for myself, but like for a new mom or for, but to be able to really own and honor, the 1% shifts that you can make. And those 1% shifts, when done, several times a day, they add up. And remembering that. And I just really loved that you shared that. And I loved your honesty. I loved that, just the honesty of people being able to relate. Like, it's hard. Like, we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of getting tired and run down. And then and then it becomes making the choice to make that shift to re-nourish ourselves. So I appreciate you sharing that. What I also think is so fascinating, and Tanya said that she loved the duality of this at the beginning of the interview, was that you are shifting into the fall equinox. We're shifting into the spring. But underlying it all is we're all going through a period of transformation. And just wondering, like, when, as you feel things shifting, the season shifting, do you have any tips and tricks or things that you kind of call into your body to do, or rituals that you pay attention to during these times of year?
I really think it is important to do some sort of ritual or something that's meaningful to you as the season changes, because if you don't take time to really acknowledge there's a shift, the year just blends, it just all blurs into one big blob, And the fact is, when you look outside at nature, it's not just one big blob, Things are happening in spring that aren't happening in winter. Things are happening in the fall that aren't happening in the summer. We are not apart from nature, even though we like to think we are. We are part of the natural world. So there are just certain things that we should naturally be doing in spring. And I used to run, and I'm not doing it so much anymore, I'm more doing it on my own, but I used to run group classes for the equinox and for the solstice, where we would do something called a yoga mala, and it's 108 sun salutations. And we would break it up into rounds of 12, and for every round, we would dedicate to some sort of clearing out, making space for the new, and then really thinking about the season ahead and what that means. And for spring, obviously, it is it's a shedding of your winter coat, and it is a lightening of your load, and it is new beginnings. And so so if you can create some sort of a ceremony, a ritual, or a practice, or do something that really marks that transitional period for you, then you you're much more able to have that personal transformation within yourself.
Mm. I love that. I love how you really encourage, like, it's such a piece of the detox. I think you'll agree with me on this, Tanya. It's about creating what feels good to you. What would feel good to you as you transition into the spring? What kind of ritual do you want to create? And then we're here to create this container of support. Wouldn't you agree, Tanya?
Absolutely. I really love that it's about, transitioning. And Joe, you said, if you don't acknowledge these changes, if you don't acknowledge the transition, it just seems like one big blob, which it does. And the blob is, you know, mundane and it's not exciting and it's not an adventure. But when we take the time to actually ride the waves of nature's changes, life actually becomes quite exciting and quite beautiful. What is coming up for me right now, and one of the questions that is coming up from our group is when we hear words like ceremony or we hear words like ritual, people don't know how to action that. And a ceremony can be something that is, you know, very simple, and you can create maybe even, you know, another word that kind of sends confusion is an altar or a space, you know, in their room or in their house where they collect things that hold a sentimental something, right? Do you have any ideas or suggestions for how someone can create a little ritual for the seasons transitioning?
Yeah, of course. I mean, a ritual or a ceremony, it's really just awakening to the fact that what you're doing is sacred and meaningful. Mm. So it's creating a space for you that is reminding you that what you are doing is sacred and meaningful. And if you travel to India, they do a little ritual for everything. Everything is a little ritual, you know, so it doesn't have to be a grand thing. You can do something as simple as, bring a fresh piece of fruit or a flower from the garden or some sort of a photo that's really inspiring to you. Light a candle and just really keep that space as a very special space. So whenever you pass it by, you're reminded of waking up to whatever that is. So I again go on the side of simplicity and doing things which are really attainable to you. Yeah.
Why do you think that? I'm sorry, Joe. I was looking at the next question, and it talks about spring being a unique time for healing. But obviously, you're moving into the fall, and we're talking a lot about, you know, about you shared a lot about, you know, look outside. The flowers are changing. The trees have buds, or, you know, in your case, look outside. That's, you know, things are dying and the leaves are falling. I know we continue to kind of talk about this point, but I really think that it's such a beautiful point, and maybe it's just wanting to share a little bit about what I see, like looking out my window right now. I'm like looking at my window, and as I'm listening to you speak, I see flowers blooming on, you know, on the tree outside. And, you know, if anybody that's listening to this, you know, if you're by a window, you know, take a moment to connect with nature right now. And as Joe talked about earlier in the interview, like it's really about these small shifts. And this little moment right now that we can all take together is one of those shifts. It's not about a magical, you know, plane in the sky that delivers you some message that's going to, you know, direct you on to happiness and contentment for the rest of your life. It's noticing these small things and really recognizing these moments when you can be mindful and quiet and just take a moment. So I just really kind of wanted to share that. You know, I'm really resonating with this and feeling like I'm feeling my oneness with nature, everyone. So Tanya, you should probably ask the next question because I'm staring at the flowers and listening to the birds.
We need to wait till Jessica's feet come back down to earth, and I'll take
it. Well, it's so true, you know, it's so true, and we do get lost in it, you know. I mean, my husband and my son and I were outside dancing underneath a full moon last night in our yard, and you know, and it was just, and you know, and you just sit down for a moment and you're like, wow, this energy is amazing. And then this morning I was up at 5 a.m. working on my computer like a mad woman, you know, just completely like engulfed back in the blob.
you know, yeah. and now I'm out of the blob, you know, and I'm seeing the flowers, and that's just it, right? That's what we do. It's back and forth and back and forth.
It really is, and that's why it is a practice just to keep yourself coming back, because you can get lost in it. You can get lost in the trance.
Yeah.
And when you just look out into, you know, if you live in a big city and you just look out into the main highway or the main street or whatever, and you see so many people driving and walking in that trance, and it's a real practice to remind yourself, no, I can wake up from this, you know. And really, every moment can be that connection to all things. Every moment can. And it's just a matter of, you know, stepping outside, taking your shoes off and opening your eyes, taking a deep breath, and then you're there.
That's beautiful.
Do you have any, like, points, Joe, that you, like, you know, this is when I know, realize that I've got to, you know, take my shoes off and step outside, or this is, you know, a moment that I really, these are the times when I really feel connected.
My biggest thing is that whatever you decide to do, it has to be authentic to you. And it has to be doable for you. So I'm not a big believer in, like, diets or just radical shifts. Just in small increments that are meaningful and for you. So for me, I really am coming out of quite a big, chaotic life cycle. And so the smaller the better for me. So one of my biggest practices is, barefoot on the earth, hands raised into the sky, deep breathing, smiling. Mm. And that is an immediate shift. And I know it's not going to take any, you know, energy or barely any time. So little things like that, excuse me, which are easy, which are sustainable, which are meaningful to you, which you actually feel. You feel that, you know, connection, feeling. Things that I would really encourage people to do. I mean, it's a huge thing to think, okay, well, I'm going to go and run 10 miles because, you know, I want to firm up and, you know, I put on a bit of weight over winter. I mean, who's really going to, how many times are you going to do that?
Yeah.
Once, I mean, and then you're going to be in recovery for a few days, and then you're going to make excuses because it just takes so much energy. And the smaller, the better, the simpler, the better. That would be my advice.
Mm. That is, like, the best medicine ever. I mean, just going back to, everybody thinks they have to, you know, you have this idea, go big or go home. And that can be applied to, you know, our dreams and our ambitions, but it doesn't have to be applied to how we nourish and take care of ourselves. It can be simple and it can be expansive and it can be a little bit every single day as long as it's consistent. And I think when you have that consistency that isn't formed from, like, a rigid base, it grows so naturally. And I literally got goosebumps when you said, you know, bare feet on the earth and one hand to the sky.
Oh,
that is,
yeah.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's simple and it's easy and it is connecting with, like you said, every moment can be a connection to all things.
That's right. And if you want to just make that an absolute exquisite practice, try doing it at sunrise or sunset.
Mm.
And that is such a magical time of transition. And there's something about that time when dark turns to light or light turns to dark, which is really happening on the bigger scale with the change of the seasons. coming into lightness. So really experiencing that shift is powerful. And the feet on the earth, the hand in the sky is just one of really being connected, grounded, and open and receptive to the change. Because some people are not so receptive to change. They sort of cling on to what they know. So yeah. These sorts of rituals, which remind us, no, this is the cycle of life. We have so many cycles. We have so many birth cycles. We have so many death cycles in life. Mm-hmm. And to understand what cycle you're going through is really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
You know, when you just said that, just because we're speaking, you know, to two mothers, you know, there's such a cycle of, you know, obviously the birth of a child, but then kind of the death of the old life and, you know, and then the cocoon of what's going to come and then the emergence of the new life, you know, afterwards. I don't know, it just felt so powerful for me to say that. You know, because there's, and then you're talking about the sunset and the sunrise, and we're all gathering here in this macrocosm of the equinox, but there's these microcosmic, just as significant changes happening every single day throughout your entire day, the sunrise, yeah. The sunset, each breath, and I'm thankful for lights like you, Joe, and of course you, Tanya, you know, who's lighting my life every single day, you know, just reminding me that it's not as difficult as we try to make it. You know, it's not like finding presence, reconnecting back with ourselves. It is not as difficult as we try to make it.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I just did a class recently on the power of simplicity and the power of a beginner's mind, and how when we first do something, we're in that place of awe, and we're open, we are free of expectation. But the more we get into something, the more we layer our own personal expectations, and we do not have our senses as awake and excitable as when we do something for the first time, and we tend to complicate things and overthink things. So there is a real power to simplicity and really stripping it down. And again, another word that comes up for me over and over again is authenticity, like something that's meaningful for you, that you can connect to, that you experience the result, like, oh, yeah, I feel this grounding me. I feel this opening me up. I feel this transition, and then, you know, that's helping me transition personally. Yeah, the power of simplicity.
It's awesome. And it's really the foundation of this detox is really about, you know, it's not about a rigid regime. It's not about creating this hard-driven structure that people have to follow. It's actually about discovering their inner healer. It's about discovering, like you said, their own authentic way to become healthy and more alive than ever. And the sole purpose of that is so that they can relax and enjoy life even more. So, Joe, I mean, you are so beautiful. You're such an inspiration in my life, and I know in the life of so many others. I just want to ask you one last question. And if there's one wish that you could offer our alchemists who are participating in the spring detox, what would it be?
I wish would be through this shedding of the old and through this rebirthing and waking up into the new you, that you realize how beautiful and precious that you are to your families, to your friends, but also to the planet. When we have people who realize that it is important to take care of themselves, how it is important to join together and encourage each other to be the best version of ourselves, it helps us all. So that would be my wish, that everyone doing this detox would wake up to their own radiance, their own beauty, their own magnificence, and to really let that authentically shine through whatever they do in this coming season.
Mm. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Gorgeous.
Well, thank you. This was really special. I really appreciated talking to you too, and really want to wish you all the best for this detox, because I know that sometimes it's challenging letting go of habits and letting go of things that you've used as a crutch for a long time, and trying new things. But if you can just stay centered, it will give you more energy. It will give you more time. It will give you a deep balance and well-being and inner peace. And then you'll have the motivation to push through
this,
but it gets a little hard.
Thank you so much, Jo.
Thank you, Jo.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you are welcome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, and if for who's listening, if you want to connect more with Jo, you can find her on Yoga Glow. She teaches several classes there, and she's going to have some new classes on there as well. She's been recording them all weekend. And then her website is jotestula.com. So find her there as well, and check her out. She's got a great yoga DVD, High Vibrations Yoga DVD for inner peace and outer strength. And, and if, what we're saying today is really resonating with you, we really encourage you to find out more and learn more. And Alchemist, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about this interview. Let us know how it touched you. We would love to continue the conversation here in our comment thread. And Tanya, thank you so much.
Right back at you, sister.
All right. So we're going to close it out with a little more Stevie Nicks. So enjoy.
Enjoy.
Thank you.